Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, baby!
Rockin' and rollin' in the airwaves near you, wherever they can behold, this is One Rockin' Podcast, and the podcast will rock. That's right, it is our weekly podcast where we dive into a track by one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, are you rocking tonight?
I am rocking. Whenever we record these, Mark, it's very quickly becoming one of my favorite evenings of the week because I get to sit down with my Weiser Special Blend and my Coke Zero and get to talk rock and roll with a good friend of mine and listen to some great music. We've had some great tunes, and I've actually had a lot of – it's been bugging me the last week because last week we did Out of Space from A Different Kind of Truth, and we both voted it no. And in my head all week, I'm like, it's not that bad. Maybe I should have given it a token yes. It was just right on the line for me. It's good in a lot of ways. It was just I expected more. So I carry a lot of guilt this week.
Maybe it's one of those tracks that, like a fine wine, get better with age. Like the more you listen to it, the more it grows on you. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time something like that has happened, and I can't fault you for it. Like I think we said on the show, it's not a terrible song. It's just not the best Van Halen song. It's not one that we are certainly going to put up on the top 10, nor I don't think the top 20. So that is the only reason for the no. And you know, for me personally, I just wasn't feeling it, but I can understand and I respect your buyer's remorse, as it were.
You know, it was the ultimate filler song, I think is kind of how we referred it, and that makes a lot of sense because it's really kind of a filler album. It was all cast-offs from different projects, some is going back as far as 1976 that they just kind of repurposed into this album. So you know, it wasn't good enough to make Van Halen one or any other album in between. Maybe that's kind of the reason.
I mean, it's kind of like when people are watching movies and they wonder why in the world the deleted scenes weren't added to the final cut of the film. Well, they're deleted for a reason, okay? And this track felt like it was not deleted, but at least put to the side from the original album. And I think that's for a reason. It's maybe they just didn't have a lot of substance to it. And even reviving it so many years later, not a lot of substance, which is why for me it was a no. But again, I get it. It's fine. And I wonder if we're gonna deal with that again this week. Time will tell.
You know what? I'm thinking we got to try a little reverse psychology when it comes to this damn wheel. Because the first four shows, we've gotten all Dave songs. And three out of the four were great. So I'm hoping for a Dave song tonight. Wheel, give me something big. Give me a jump. Give me Panama. Why the hell not?
Yeah. We've already gone into a couple of their huge hits. Why not just hit them all right at once? So, yeah,
just keep the ball rolling. Yeah, because you know what's going to happen, Mark? At some point, we're going to hit a streak of nothing but stinkers. And I'm kind of dreading that time.
I feel like that's what the wheel is trying to tell us. It's he's giving us a bone right now until he just completely bones us later.
Yeah, the wheel is a fickle mistress. What do you say? Should we shuffle it up and see what we get this week?
Let's see how fickle she be and spin that wheel for us, Corey, please.
All right, take it away, Sammy.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. Coming down. Oh, it's another kind of truth song. This one's called Big River. I don't know this song at all, but
nor do I. Again, I think I mentioned last week this entire record, with the exception of their one hit their single Tattoo, completely passed me by. I don't even remember Tattoo all that well, to be honest with you. So this will definitely be a surprise.
Oh, Big River. I gotta see if I can find some, you know, some facts on this song. We're getting deep cuts at least.
Well, they're a California band, so I wonder what exactly which Big River they're referring to.
That'll be interesting. Yeah, there we got some tracks on Chinatown, Honey Baby Sweetie Doll, Blood and Fire. Again, drawing inspiration from their 1977 Warner Brothers demos, this is a new version of a song that was originally called Big Trouble back in 1977.
We substitute the trouble for a river.
Apparently. And really, I can't find much more about it. It just like last week. So reverse psychology doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. The wheel do what it do.
The wheel do what it do, and what it do is give us two straight songs from A Different Kind of Truth, the filler album from Van Halen in 2012, of course. No Michael Anthony on this album. It was Wolfgang Van Halen. David Lee Roth comes back for his first full album since 1984's 1984. He did have the two songs on Best of Van Halen Volume 1. And that's really all I know about this track and this album. Should we just kind of get into it?
We might as well. I have no expectations. I don't know what we are in store for this time. So
we're going to get Filler, the sequel here.
Oh God.
Episode 5. Here we go. Let's check out Big River.
All right.
All right, thoughts on the intro there. It kind of dyslexic at the start there, right? We had a nice little guitar. Yeah, I was kind of thinking, oh, this is going to be maybe one of the ballads off A Different Kind of Truth. That it kicked into something pretty fast.
Yeah. Now, this one sort of gives me some Hagar vibe, era vibes to the song, even though we know that, we know Sammy is nowhere to be found here, but it's the way the riff, even the intro and the start of the opening riff kind of reminds me of those days. So it'd be very, very interesting to see how the rest of this goes.
Yeah, I think we're just about to kick into David Lee Roth here coming in. Let's give it a listen. All right, so we kind of got the verse and a little bit of the chorus structure there. I don't know. What do you think? I think Dave sounds all right on this one. He seemed kind of strained on the Different Kind of Truth track we had last week. Maybe a little better voice in this one.
Yeah, this one sounds like he wasn't trying to he wasn't trying to bring back his former days, like in the last one, where it's very clear you are not the Dave of old. You are just old Dave at this point. And you just don't try to hit those notes. Don't try to do exactly what you always used to do. This one actually sounds like he's trying to the best of his abilities at that time. I almost felt for a moment he was going to try and invoke a little bit of Hagar vibes, but I'm glad he didn't go there, because that just would not be a pretty sight or sound, if you will. I will say, looking at the lyrics here, this sounds like, and it looks like, it was edited. It looks like you said originally the song was titled Big Trouble.
Yep.
And now it's Big River. So I feel like the lyrics for Big Trouble were around, and they thought, well, this doesn't work anymore, so let me just change a few things here and there, and now we got Big River. That's what it feels like to me.
It's funny you brought up the whole Sammy Hagar vibe, because look at the lyrics. Wind in my back, facing the sun, all my big ideas are done. Listen to a seashell, you can hear the sea. Listen to a beer glass, the river belongs to me. It sounds like almost like a vacation song, kind of like a Cabo Wabo that you would get from Sammy Hagar. So yeah. It kind of continues along that vibe. That was a good call there.
I mean, that's what it feels like, and that's what it looks like in the lyrics. But also, it also looks like maybe Dave combined too. Like, he found some of Sammy's old lyrics just kind of lying around, and then he needed to fix the original Big Trouble. Like, you know what? I'm just going to steal a little bit of what Sammy's got there and put them together. Here we go.
I found interesting was the title change is probably because there's a song called Big Trouble on David Lee Roth's solo album, Eat 'Em and Smile.
Aha. Well, there you are.
All right. I think we're coming up to the chorus here. Let's give it a listen.
Let's try it.
So it's kind of a running theme on this show, Mark, the David Lee Roth choruses, not a lot of substance to them. This is literally just Big River rolling. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? David sounds pretty good on this.
He does. I'm actually really impressed with what he's doing here. He's giving us the usual Dave flair, but we're not getting so much of it that it's just, okay, Dave, yeah, whatever. Like, no, it actually sounds like he's trying to do something a little different. The chorus notwithstanding, he's very much keeping into the same thematics of the only thing you need to hear in the chorus is the title of the song so that you know what you're listening to.
Yep.
Big River. Yep. There's no mistaking that one.
Yeah. And since we're never going to get a Sammy Hagar song, we're never going to get to compare the two. It's been all Dave.
All Dave. It's we're getting all the Dave out of the way. So I guess it seems like that's what the wheel wants to do.
I found this one quote interesting from David Lee Roth. He said, and I quote, "We've managed to stretch our adolescence like a chiclet to the moon and maintain the respectful dignities along the way that got us on that turnpike up in the first place." Talking about reusing this kind of old material.
Yeah.
Because he says the band's reason is they can't get away with pretending to be young anymore. Are there second chances? He asked. I'm tending to know. Kind of a pessimistic view of things, but
I mean, but he's not wrong, I guess. You know, you can only chase the adolescence for so long before finally you just have to look in the mirror and accept that, hey, you're old.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, should we continue?
Let's do it.
Lamb's Edge, where the east begins. The deep meets the sea when the tide comes in. Oh, girl! Look both ways now.
All right.
Now that is fire, is what that is. Man, I had a completely different opinion of this song until that happened. Wow.
To me, we were comparing the two different kind of true songs we've had. This is kind of the extreme opposite. Whereas last week, I thought it was maybe Eddie just kind of going through the motions. This is what an Eddie Van Halen solo should sound like. This is just Eddie saying, fuck y'all, I'm the best guitar player on the planet. Catch this.
I mean, he's literally playing the solo to the song. I mean, he's not going too far outside the realm there. However, he is also adding more of the Eddie Van Halen, sorry to use the word again, flair, for lack of a better term. He's just turning it up to 11, to use another reference. I'm surprised, one, how much he utilized both the pinch harmonic squeal, the really high pitch sound he gets made, if you didn't know, and then the wah pedal. He's using the wah pedal, so it sounds like the tone goes from muffled to clear. So that if it's those in the know, if you know the wah pedal, will do that for you. It's very Jimi Hendrix was very famous for using the wah pedal, especially in All Along the Watchtower. So that gives you an idea of what that might sound like. So, but also Eddie's doing, he's playing the solo with the right scales. He knows where he's at in the key, but then he's just utilizing every trick in the Eddie Van Halen book that he can think for this solo. And I'm surprised that it lasted as long as it did. The moment I thought it was going to end after what, 8 measures, he decided, nope, I'm going to tap some more. I'm going to do some tapping, and it's just going to keep on going.
It's funny. I could see on the screen, you were kind of ready for the solo to end. Then all of a sudden we shifted into another section of the solo. And you're like, oh, great.
It's like, oh, there's more. And it was different. That's what struck me about it. He gives you a little bit of a taste for, like, here's a solo. What you might think is paint by numbers, although I'm doing a lot more this time around, and you think it's done. No, wait, check this out. And then just hits the B section on you. It's rare to get an Eddie Van Halen B section. You get about 3 sections of solos in Eruption by themselves. But I mean, that's just a whole song. This, however, is, I got to compact several different transitions and put it into this one solo, but I think you'll enjoy it. I, for one, and I'm geeking out a little bit over that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, you know what? I the rest of the band sounds tight. I know Wolfgang takes a lot of shit for whatever reason from Van Halen fans. Kid can play.
And he's so good.
If you listen to his debut album, it's phenomenal. Like, so great.
I was a bit apprehensive for a long time about him, but I listened to his album, or I've listened to him talk about his process. The kid's good.
And Alex, always good. Even with the tempo change, everything was just tight. I really liked just how the band came together for that whole middle section. You listen to the chorus, you listen to the, you know, the kind of dumb lyrics, even though Dave's singing them pretty well. And yeah, you get a whole different vibe from the song just after the solo section there. So now we're getting into more Big Rivers, if you're ready.
Oh, so many Big Rivers. It's the biggest.
Getting a nice long fade out on that.
Yeah, just that's Eddie seeing you off as you stroll down that big river.
All right. I tell you, even with all the dumb big rivers in there, I really kind of like that last third of the song. You know, it carried well. You got to love a good lead out like that, especially when the band is tight and they're playing mm-hmm. well and the groove is good. Not a lot wrong with that one. I don't know. What do you think?
No, yeah, it's a nice little jam. It's something. It's very simple. The lyrics are very simple. They're not simple, not dumb, but I mean a little bit dumb. Yeah, we'll just call it simple. Simple lyrics, the melody and the beat, very very easy going, very very blues heavy. But then you got the extra ornamentation by Eddie to signify, hey, by the way, this is still us. So don't get it twisted.
All right, so yeah. It's time to vote, Mr. Kammeyer. What are you going to give Big River from 2012's A Different Kind of Truth?
Well, there's just so much that I wish were kind of a little bit different about this song, but I must say, it is a good rock and jam, and even though it might be a little too simple, one might even consider it a paint-by-numbers throwaway song by Van Halen if you want to. The solo saves it for me. That got me interested. That got me into it again, and I really enjoy the sort of like that long fade-out outro. It's very blues-heavy, very blues-inspired. And I appreciate that. And I don't know, man, something about Eddie just cutting a rug like that just really just amped me up. I'm still amped about it. So that's my vote. I got to give it a yes for that alone. But Corey, what do you think about Big River?
Well, I'm kind of on the fence again. This is kind of like the out of space. There's a lot of good. There's some I don't like, but ultimately, I'm going to have to give this one a... Yeah, the solo saves it, and Dave sounds good. I didn't like how Dave sounded on Out of Space. Vocally, I thought he did a pretty good job in this. He's not doing much, right? He sings about a river. He says the words Big River about 12 times, and then he throws in an aw yeah and a rolling. Again, if we're judging these on song compositions and if lyrics played a bigger part in it, a lot of these songs would be fails. Because like Hot for Teacher is just cliches with the odd line thrown in, and he's got a bad Hot for Teacher. Pretty much every song we've done lyrically has been lacking. But Dave sounds cool. The band is kicking ass on this track. I'm giving this a pretty decent recommend. I liked it better than Out of Space, and that was kind of my big on the fence song. But this one here, about halfway through the song, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely trending towards yes.
It's like I said, while we were listening to it, I had one opinion of the song at first, and then the solo happens, and I went, well, that just changed. That's a little hint as to what was to come for our voting session. But yeah, I forgot to mention that I agree with you. Dave actually sounds good in this. He's not trying to go over the top. He's not trying to live out the glory days. He's just going, no, here I am. This is what I sound like. But I'm going to try. It sounds like he's trying, and I appreciate that. So, yeah, got to give it to him for this one.
Well, that's why that quote I read earlier is kind of apropos, because he talks about, you know, stretching his adolescence like a chiclet to the moon, whatever the hell that means.
I don't know.
But just talking about how we're not kids anymore. We're not going to pretend we're kids. This is how we sound now, as opposed to how we sounded in 1977.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe the tone of what this song sounds like in the riff, I mentioned it kind of sounded to me very Hagar era-esque. And I think that's because they utilized when Sammy joined the band, there was a bit of a tone shift with the way they sounded musically. And I guess once they just figured that out, they figured out like, well, this is what we sound like now. Maybe they just kept it. They just decided to stick with it as opposed to going back and say like, how did we really sound in the late 70s, early 80s? Let's see if we can replicate that tone. That would have been a mistake. They could have tried it and probably succeeded in sounding like that, but I don't think that would have been the right call. So hearing that quote and then listening to this particular track makes me realize like, okay, now I get it. I see why they did that. This is what they sound like now. So big ups for that.
You know, one thing we haven't really talked about is the role of a producer and how they can influence recording. You talked about the difference in sound from the early Dave stuff going into the Hagar era. All those early David Lee Roth albums were produced by Ted Templeman. And then from that, they had different producers, and actually A Different Kind of Truth was produced by John Shanks, who I believe has done a lot of work with Aerosmith recently. So he certainly knows how to produce rock albums. But it's interesting how different producers get different products out of you. And there is a big tonal shift from the David Lee Roth era, early era, to the Van Hagar era. Oh, and now A Different Kind of Truth again, maybe with a different kind of sound to it.
That's a really good point. Yeah. A producer goes a long way in the quality of your record. And not to say that if you have a bad producer, your record's going to sound, really, really shitty. But it certainly helps to have a good one. It helps to have a good producer. But even sometimes good producers make mistakes, and it happens all the time. But yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. A good producer should be taken into consideration for these things, and that's absolutely true. And you say this guy, what was his name again, that produced this album?
John Shanks. I was actually mistaken. I thought he had done some Aerosmith. He actually did a couple albums for John Bon Jovi, recently.
Oh.
Recently, he did I'm just trying to look it up here. We did Different Kind of Truth for Bon Jovi. He did Beautiful Day, which was one of their later albums, and he did their kind of throwaway album Burning Bridges, which was just kind of scraps thrown together, kind of like A Different Kind of Truth in a lot of ways. It was so John Bon Jovi could get out of his record contract. So he called it Burning Bridges because it was a big middle finger to the record company at the time.
Well, there you go. So, well, that makes a lot of sense then that they went to him. So he has experience working with aged rockers.
Yes. Yeah. He's supported Bon Jovi's This House Is Not For Sale album as well. So that's kind of the last big album he did.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, he's actually touring with Bon Jovi right now, too. So he's kind of gone from producing to actually being a member of the stage band for.
Yeah, they're Bon touring act. Yeah. That's, well, I wonder if he's their sound guy as well.
He's kind of doing everything, isn't he? But one thing I heard about John Bon Jovi, we talked about how vocally, he can't really cut it anymore like he used to. Like, he doesn't sound like he did when he was a young man, like most people can't. But as John's voice is kind of going, the band is growing. So now he's got more guitar players. He's got another keyboard guy. He's got a horn section here pretty soon. I'm just to kind of mask maybe his vocal deficiencies.
The Bon Jovi Symphony is that's what he's going for next time. You know what? Actually, Wanted Dead or Alive, symphonic variation would sound symphonic arrangement would probably sound pretty cool. So I'm here for it.
You know, there's a lot of early Bon Jovi that would sound pretty cool, I think, with a symphonic arrangement. Even something that, like from the Blaze of Glory soundtrack, right? Which is one I just got on vinyl, inspired by our mutual friend Ken Knapsack to get the Young Guns 2 soundtrack that John Bon Jovi composed. But, you know, something like Blaze of Glory would sound pretty cool with a symphony behind it.
Blaze of Glory would sound really, really cool. You Give Love a Bad Name would probably sound pretty sweet. So
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So you know what, John, you do you, go get your symphony band. That's exactly what I want. You heard Metallica do it with the S&M album. So you figure, why not me? Go ahead, give it a shot.
And why not? Those symphony albums from Metallica, both of them are phenomenal.
I find them to be probably a couple of my favorites that they've ever done, which you say what you want about me in the on Twitter and in the comments. Just, come at me, bro. It's fine. But you know I'm right.
Yeah, I agree. I'm one of the few people, I think, that likes everything Metallica does. I like the early stuff. I like the later stuff. I did a podcast a while back with our good friend Christy McGee on Reload.
On Reload, yeah.
What a great album Reload is. Like, there's a lot of good stuff on that album.
There are. And, you know, I love Reload is the album I think a lot of fans, or maybe Load before it, but Reload, they consider, oh, this is the death of Metallica, really, because they just completely changed their sound. Like, well, no, it was a progression, but that's just me. But my question to you, Corey, is you said you like everything, even Saint Anger.
I'm so glad you said Saint Anger, not Lulu, because Lulu, you would have got me. I fucking hate Lulu, but everybody on the planet does. I don't mind a good portion of Saint Anger. Like, I don't hate it like everybody else hates it.
Yeah.
Some Kind of Monster is one of my favorite rock documentaries, which it's kind of weird. We segued to that because I just got finished watching the Beatles Get Back, all 8 hours of that. Yeah. And that's Corey Crack right there. I was just in heaven. But Some Kind of Monster, I watch at least once or twice a year. Because for rock documentaries, it doesn't get better than that. And a lot of the Presidio stuff they're working on sounds like shit. So the fact that it progressed from that to what we got on Saint Anger is not bad. Obviously, the non-snare sound from Lars's drum kit bothers the hell out of me. But there's a couple of decent tracks on there.
Yeah, that's another example, kids, of what we said, that even a good producer can make mistakes. And that
Bob Rock, who actually produced the Black Album, he's done a lot of good stuff, right?
And Well,
that's the band saying, hey, we want to fuck up our sound. And he went, okay. Where a good producer would have said, you know what, maybe don't. You're Metallica, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's if you want to point fingers at blaming Metallica for changing their sound whatsoever, you need to point at Bob Rock, who joined them for the Black Album, which is their, I'm quite sure, highest selling record to this day.
By far.
Yeah. So hate on Black Album all you want. It's great.
Celebrating its 30th anniversary this year, actually. Just had a big reissue.
Oh, man. Now it did, because I saw other artists contributing their versions, their takes on some of the songs. Some of them I liked, and then a couple of them, no, I did not, but it's fine. Modern music just isn't for me, you guys, but you know it is for you, this podcast. We've got another one in the bag talking about Van Halen. Two in a row about recent years of Van Halen, with Dave coming back. All Dave tracks so far. So, I mean, God only knows what the wheel is going to pick for us next time. If I had to take a wild guess, I'm going to go, it's probably another Dave, just because there's a lot to work with. But, I mean, there's a lot of Sammy, too. I don't know. I just don't know. I think this wheel is just biased, but we'll figure it out. And while we're doing that, you can hit us up on our social medias. Also, be sure to, if you like this episode, if you like the show in general, give it a like, subscribe to it, spread the word, let us know, let everyone know, because we all like to talk about fun things, and what's more fun than Van Halen? Nothing, hardly nothing. But speaking of the socials, Corey, where can the people find you on yours?
They can find me at CD Marset on Twitter and Instagram. And yes, please get a hold of us. Let us know. Maybe you hate the Black Album. Maybe you love Saint Anger. Maybe you love A Different Kind of Truth. Apparently, we've got 11 songs left on A Different Kind of Truth. We're going to hit them all at some point, probably in the next 2 months by the sounds of it. But please, yeah, interact with us. Let us know. Of course, the show has its own Twitter feed as well, at Podcast Will Rock. Let us know what you thought of Big River, Big Trouble, whatever you want to call it. To me, it was a big success. I dug this track.
Ah, there's 11 more from this album. Oh boy.
No, some are instrumentals. Boy. We won't have to do all 11 songs that are left, but
fair enough. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mark the Bat. Look for me there. Be on the lookout in the month of January for sure. I'll have some of my own stuff to plug, some shows lined up, and possibly a new gig lined up for more consistent work. I don't know. We're still working that out. Probably shouldn't have said that out loud, but it's fine. It's fine. No harm will come of it, I hope. But that is it. That's the show. On behalf of Corey and myself, you have been listening to And the Podcast Will Rock, and we will rock you later.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.